Hello, and welcome to episode 72 of Design Curious Podcast. I'm your host and mentor, Rebecca Ward. Today on the podcast, I have Amanda Foster. It was really fun connecting with her. Turns out that we are local to each other, and we have kind of a similar background going to Sac State and everything. And so I really enjoyed talking with her and connecting with her offline as well as on the podcast. I think you'll enjoy her. She has a lot of personality and it was just a lot of fun to talk with. Let me tell you a little bit more about her. She is an interior design consultant helping her veteran peers flip their struggling businesses with marketing background. Also serves her design newbies with courses to get them started online with all things e-design for business setup, e-design 101, and even presentation skills for them to master Photoshop and Canva to wow their clients. She has a background in graphic and web design, so she also helps her peers create strategic graphics that attract their ideal client. She audits social media and website to teach them how to be better online service providers in the digital age for our interior design industry. So I really did enjoy talking with her and very much the parts about e-design as well. So before we get to her interview, I'd like to remind you of all of the free downloads I have for you in the show note links to help you understand a little bit more about the career of interior design. And of course, if you want to work with me a little bit more one-on-one, we have My Design Mentor to get you started outright in your interior design career. So check that out if you're interested. And now let's talk with Amanda. You're now listening to Design Curious, a place where you, creative one, are here to learn about what it really is like to be an interior designer. And I'm your host and mentor, Rebecca Ward. If you're worried about how to succeed in a creative career, if you're ready to learn your next steps to become an interior designer, and if you want the satisfaction of doing something you love every day, you are in the right place. Grab a coffee, a notebook, and let's dig into today's episode. Hi, Amanda. Welcome to Design Curious Podcast. So great to have you here.
Yes, I'm so excited. This is awesome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and it's fun that you reached out and it turns out that we are actually local to each other, which is a fun surprise, but it's great to get to know you a little more. And I see that you used to be a designer, but now you've transitioned to be a brand identity consultant for designers. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. I mean, I kind of put it as like a design mentor to my peers, but we do work a lot with brand identities and just having them hone in on who they really are as an interior designer. Because once I figured that out, that actually helped my business be so much more successful.
Mm-hmm. Are you still practicing interior design?
Yes, I do. Okay, I do e-design projects on the side. Just because my consulting business actually has been doing really well, but I still gravitate back to my interior design roots. I did a lot of architecture, as you know, through Sac State.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was listening to your podcast, the first ones, and your origin story, and I was like, oh my gosh, I went to Sac State too. And I went to all of the right internships after and all the 9-to-5s that followed, and it was so boring. I mean, for me personally, because if you go to fosterdecor.com, it's crazy, it's wild, it's colorful, it's bold, it's edgy, it's everything that Sacramento, more of the technical jobs, weren't really providing for me after I graduated. I mean, I learned so much, but it was hard for me to figure out, where do I creatively fit in a very government, business, commercial city that I don't think back in 2008 to 2011 was as diverse as it is now. So now, jumping forward into almost 2024, we have Midtown. We have a very large hipster art community that I actually interact with a lot and network with. So for me, it's like if I had graduated now and seen some of the different smaller boutique things that are out here, I would be like, oh my gosh, this is great. You know, I'm an interior designer, blah, blah, blah. But now it's, or I mean, back then, Oh man, I just did not find my calling until I found eDesign.
Okay, so were you pursuing mostly residential, or was it commercial as well, or where did you land after
school? It was very commercial right out of school, and I just really hated the 9 to 5. I was also interning a lot in Napa, because that's where I'm from originally, is Napa Valley. So driving back and forth most of the time to hang out with friends or family and things like that, I started thinking, okay, maybe the 9 to 5 isn't the right way. Maybe I can explore staging, or maybe I can shadow some of these other people that are really active in Napa. My mom knew a few people, which she connected me with, which was really great. So I actually shadowed under some veteran interior designers, and they were doing a lot of renovation kitchens out there. Wine tasting rooms was also big. So it felt like, oh, this is a little bit more creative. This is, you know, not just me in a cubicle, right? And like doing CAD monkey is what we would be called, drafting things over and over and over again. It was like, wow, like we're out of the office. We're, you know, going to pick finishes and meet with clients. And it just felt very different and like, okay, maybe this is my calling. But I feel like I got kind of burnt out with that, and it still didn't quite click. And so kind of fast forward to my fiance getting a job opportunity to travel the world, basically, as a video commentator, kind of like the NFL sports guys, right? Where they have the big headsets and they're kind of talking about the game. And so he would do that with a couple other guys working for Ubisoft, which is a big company. And they would commentate video games and they would travel to all these cool countries. And he's like, should I do it? And I'm like, yeah, you should do it. And he's like, well, I'm only going to do it if you come with me. I don't want to like, we had been together at that point for 5 years. So it was kind of like, oh my gosh, are we really doing this? And I was like, yeah, okay, I'm down, because I do like what I'm learning, but it doesn't feel like it's quite clicking, right? And I'm done with Sacramento in the sense of getting work out there, and more of like what I felt was more technical construction document based. And I was like, no. So I was like, let's do it. Let's just go. Let's quit and just travel the world. And right before we did, I was looking on LinkedIn, just looking at like, maybe there's like freelance gigs, because as a graphic designer, I've always done freelance since high school. So I'd always do logos and, you know, websites and apps and things for clients and friends of friends and you name it. So I was just like, oh, maybe I'll look to see if there's some kind of Upwork or freelance gigs or something on LinkedIn right before we leave. And I learn about eDesign.
Okay.
And this was back in 2014. I think it was like November. It was not quite Thanksgiving, but I was like, what is this eDesign thing? I hadn't heard of it, as more of, you know, the route that we took with getting accredited and, you know, all of the certifications. Like, eDesign, is that like interior architecture? Or what is this? And I learned from the company Havenly, it was online interior design. And I thought, this is perfect. I could be an interior designer online anywhere. And we actually are going to be traveling all over the world. So it just really fit, because it's like, wait, are there technical drawings? Are there elevations? Are there construction documents? Because I was totally burnt out on those.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, it's more creative. Meeting with clients virtually, doing mood boards, concept designs, creating a, you know, shopping list for them. It was a lot more casual than the training that I had. And I was so relieved and like, oh my God, this is more creative and presentation based, because they were teaching us Photoshop, because all of the renders had to be done through Photoshop and more of like, I call it digital kind of scrapbooking, you know, when you kind of have that collage where you're not quite doing a 3D render or doing, let's say, like an AutoCAD floor plan. So to me, it was very creative, very liberating to not have that 9 to 5 and say, yeah, let's just go. Let's just take off. And, you know, we were doing that for about 6 years traveling.
Okay.
and living out in Europe in different parts, and we would come back and forth to the States. But it was, you know, kind of that felt like my calling of like e-design is the way that I can be creative and remote freelance, which I really love since high school, but still use kind of the things that I learned in school and in the internships and things like that, of how can I gravitate this world and our industry without feeling that pressure of, oh, well, you know, you have your diploma, so get to a 9-to-5 after you do your internship. And I just felt like I was checking all these boxes and trying to be that good student and, you know, do the right thing. And now that I've broken that, it feels so liberating that you don't have to kind of compartmentalize yourself after you graduate.
Yeah, you definitely want to find out what makes you passionate and what makes you excited. And if it's not that 9-to-5 working for someone else, then don't waste your time there, right? Like, it's good to get the experience, but that's not where you're going to stay. And so that was great that you were able to find e-design as like the sweet spot of all of the things that you loved about doing design. As you continue to do e-design, how have you seen that type of niche working out for you and other people? Is e-design what you mentor people in?
Yes. So that's the focus, or at least it was. I created a boot camp kind of talking about like how you can get started, just because tons of my peers would be asking me like, wow, you have like your website and you have all your prices. And how did you come up with that package? Or how did you come up with this idea? Or it was just, I don't know, probably anywhere between 5 to 10 DMs from my peers every day asking about these things, which is really great. And I was like, wow, I'm really onto something. Thanks, guys. You know, but I didn't think of it much at the time until probably like a few months in. And after, again, like a lot of people were asking me for help or advice or even to audit, like, can you just take a look at my website, or can you look at my Instagram? And like, you know, yours is so cool and I love what you're doing. And I just felt like, okay, there's something here that I could be not like explaining everything to everyone individually, but maybe I could create a course, or maybe I could create some services that can actually help people. because it was at that point getting a little time consuming. But I'm a social butterfly, so I loved interacting with my peers and talking, and we wouldn't just be talking about renders or anything like that. We would be talking about sushi or like what they're up to. And so I think people found me very approachable and warm and goofy and just like less intimidating than I think some of our other more seasoned people out there, where they're like maybe afraid. And maybe that's why they're listening to podcasts, because they don't, you know, maybe they're too afraid to ask one-on-one. And so I've been very fortunate to not run into that issue. So I make that very clear in like my branding and my brand voice, and even just the social media that I put out there, like, ask me anything, literally. And I actually mean it. But yeah, e-design has been kind of the way that I've come back to interiors, because at that point when I said yes, so let's just go, let's take off, and I can take e-design in my little backpack, right? If I have my laptop and Wi-Fi, we could be anywhere in the world. And to have that freedom in business and in my lifestyle was so liberating after that. Like I said, the 9-to-5 and just checking each, okay, I did my internship, I got my 4.0, I got, you know, I landed, you know, a good job here. And it just felt so boring. Like, I felt like something was wrong. It almost felt like that Office Space moment. I don't know if you've seen that movie where he's just like, what am I doing here? You know? So e-design, has been a passion and a way for me to be creative, use what I've learned in school, but also now teach my peers how to get started with e-design. What is e-design? And the funny thing is, I'm actually teaching more seasoned interior design veterans, because they're coming to me for like, oh, you do website makeovers, or you do branding packages with that graphic design background that I have. Mm-hmm. And they're thinking like, well, I'm not getting the traction that I did when COVID happened. Interior designers saw a big bump, right? Mm-hmm. They saw a lot of people asking them like, okay, we're stuck at home. Can you help me, you know, with my living yeah. room or this or that? And that actually brought in more business for me because people were like, can you teach me e-design? I got to get online quick. Mm-hmm. So I get those newbies looking to learn. And then those seasoned veterans that are looking to like, I got to get online. Can yeah, you teach like me?
Diversify.
Or, yeah. Or even yeah. just like, well, I'm losing traction. I lost a contractor, you know, that would give me referrals and blah, blah, blah. So I'm not seeing, you know, any traffic in my website. I don't know if I need a new logo. So they get very like vanity metrics at that point where they're thinking mm-hmm. like, oh, I just need something pretty to attract my client. And so that's where I go back and I say, no, you need that foundation, that brand identity that you don't have. You don't have a target audience. You don't have an ideal client. Your messaging is so vague. We're going back to the foundation. Mm. And through my boot camp, that's where I've laid out all that information. So okay. they're like, oh my God, I've been a seasoned veteran for 20 years. How did I not, you know, how yeah. did I skip over like who I am? It's always yeah. about the client at the end of the day. And I get that. I was trained that way as well. But as soon as I broke that rule, I actually started seeing more business mm-hmm. in my business.
Yeah, so, it's authenticity. Yeah.
Yeah. It's counterintuitive, right? Where mm-hmm. you're just like, it's all about the client. And at the end of the day, yes, but you can somewhat categorize yourself, right? And that's where the niche comes in handy, where if your brand doesn't have a niche, you're really competing with a lot of other people that have better messaging, better graphics, clear prices and packages. Most of the clients that I work with, I don't even know how they've gotten some of the business that they've had, maybe through referrals or friends, but on their own, their marketing is not strong. And so mm-hmm. that's where the e-design courses and whatever I mentor and talk about has that marketing perspective. Mm-hmm. So that helps seasoned and it helps newbies mm-hmm. both at the end of the day. So I did a lot of marketing actually in my graphic design jobs that I had. So that's where it's like graphics and marketing and also interiors kind of mm-hmm. all come together when it comes to my consulting business. Mm-hmm. And in that shell, that's
yeah,
what I
yeah.
do.
No, that's great because I was wondering how you got that marketing experience to be able to know the point out the issues that people might be having with their website or their messaging. So that's great.
Yeah. And that's where I kind of tugged on when they would be like, can you look at my Instagram or can you check out my render or just take a quick peek at my website? And I was like, well, I actually kind of had to do this in firms. You know, mm-hmm. when we had all these different companies. It didn't matter if it was a pool company or it was a bar, or I mean, we had literally just so many random different businesses come to the graphic design firm for their logo or, mm-hmm. you know, their website or this or that. We would always start with an audit. And so that's what I tell my peers, even if you're an e-designer, an interior designer, a hybrid designer, you still need to have clarity on your brand identity, your ideal client, your signature design style, like you need one. And it's counterintuitive, but they're always afraid to niche down because they mm-hmm. think, well, then I'm like losing out on clients. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm saying no to like, let's say farmhouse and only working with just very, very traditional clients and nothing modern or abstract, then wouldn't I be not getting those people? And I'm like, are you getting those people now? Are you yeah. even getting anyone now? And they're like, no. And I'm like, well, try, you know, humor me and try it this way. And also it really helps you to be more passionate about your project at the end of the day. Your business, your lifestyle completely changes if you can actually be excited to get up and work on a project versus like, oh my God, I have to do farmhouse again. I hate this. Like, when will this trend end, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you wouldn't have that problem if we did a deep dive on your brand and your business. Mm-hmm. And all it is just learning more about who you really are, right? Authentically, you said that earlier. Mm-hmm. Authenticity is a big thing because if you're honest with yourself and what you really want to be doing in our large industry, we have a huge interior design industry as well as e-design industry. You can niche down. Mm-hmm. And the people that are successful, you will see they have a signature style. They have an ideal client. They have a brand identity. They have a niche. And they're doing five times as better than the people that are coming to me like, why isn't this working? And it's always the same thing. You're very general. You're catering to everybody. And when you speak to everyone, as you know, you speak to no one.
No one, yeah.
So that's a huge part of what I do is just really try to help my peers get clarity, not just in their business, but in their life too, because it does trickle down to other aspects of their lifestyle.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. You can't have a hard stop between business and personal. Like you are your brand, you know, as the forefront of your company. So there needs to be aspects of you and your personality interwoven to your business, I believe. So, yeah.
Yeah. I try to convince my clients when we work on their social media, because it trickles down to their website and their social media of everything that we do. And they're like, I don't know, should I show my face in a story? And I'm like, yes, stop hiding behind that logo.
Yeah.
You will see more clients like warm up to you and want to hop on that discovery call if they know who they're actually going to be calling. Who's 100%. On the other
yeah,
line.
Yeah, yeah. So good. Yeah. So what about social media for designers? What do you recommend going down that path?
Oh, well, everything I just said pretty much trickles down to social media and their website. So again, if they're wasting time grinding away on Instagram or Facebook with, unfortunately, mood boards. I keep seeing everyone sharing mood boards. And clients don't really care about the pretty mood board. They're more concerned with their design dilemma, right? Does this mood board actually help solve the problem that I have? Nope. Okay. They're going to keep scrolling, right?
Yeah.
So I have to teach clients that social media is more about their client versus their own portfolio, right? So their portfolio is important because the client needs to know, okay, is this the style that I like and can resonate with? But the messaging is 120% never there when I audit an Instagram account of my peer or their website. So that's where when we do the boot camp training, the eDesign boot camp training for their brand identity and their dream client and their signature design style, then it makes sense of like, oh, okay, I'm not just shotgunning out 20 mood boards on social media. I'm showing up as myself. I'm breaking that fourth wall essentially in my stories, which is so scary. And then like, no, you can do it. You can do it. We want to know who you are, what lights you up, what your signature design style is. And then that way your clients can start getting attracted and resonating with that messaging and with that specific mood board, right? Not the 20 different styles of mood boards, because then you're overwhelming your client, your ideal client that you don't really have because you keep talking to so many different people. So that's pretty much the number one thing is that they're focusing too much on their portfolio. They're not thinking about their ideal client because they don't actually have one. They're speaking to too many people.
That's really good advice. Yeah. So with the e-design, I feel like it's changed somewhat over the last 10 years. I know that like Havenly and Decorist were really big companies. And then is it more of like an individual thing now as opposed to having these big companies providing e-design?
Yeah. So before, Havenly was pretty much just the monopoly of the industry. And then Decorist came in. And I actually worked for both of them at the same time. It was frowned upon, but like, so many of us were like, look, we're just learning e-design, we're trying to get our feet wet. We were pretty much freelancers at that point. So we were just on any platform that we could kind of expose like our services to. And there are pros and cons to being a part of an e-design company, and I have a whole module about this, about different companies that you can partner with, the pros and cons to each, etc. But I always say there's more pros to learning through these companies because they have resources. They teach you, they have videos, they have live webinars. It's a good way to expand on your portfolio, especially if you're just starting out, or if you're a seasoned designer and you're just getting on eDesign and you don't have that kind of eDesign library or portfolio to share. But it's definitely beneficial to partner with them today as it was 10 years ago. Like, I'm just going to put that out there, because the training that they have now is actually better. You'll get up to speed quicker than we did 10 years ago. But again, I always think of it as like, view it as an internship. Be there for 3 to 6 months at least. And the amount of, I mean, it is a little bit more quantity versus quality with these companies.
Yeah.
But the amount of practice that you'll get, the amount of exposure you'll get, the amount of portfolio that you will build up in that time, you're going to learn so much that the cons, which again, if you want to learn more, check out my bootcamp, are going to be minimal to all the pros that you're going to experience, especially all the connections that I made. Like, I still am, you know, friends on Facebook with a bunch of the girls that I met 10 years ago through that community, because we had a private Facebook group. They were very encouraging about like network and learn. And I think I resonated with that, because that's also what I like to do, is network and learn and socialize, that social butterfly in me, with peers. So I definitely, for all of you guys listening, take a chance, you know, think of it as an internship. If you want to partner with Havenly, they're still very active. I'm in good graces with them. They love me. I actually ran their pop-up in San Francisco. As you know, they're an e-design company first and foremost, but in specific cities, let's see, there was San Francisco, New York City, Miami, Chicago. I feel like there was one in Texas. I feel like maybe Dallas. There were our key cities that had pop-ups. So we had in the design showroom of San Francisco, we had a little pop-up there, and that got bigger. And then it was only supposed to be for a few weeks, and they had me run it, because they're like, you're one of our all-star people. Like, we need you to be there and manage it. Just make sure everything goes, you know, smoothly, just for like a week or two. And then that turned into 4 months. But that was really exciting, because they had me in an Airbnb. So I'd be there Wednesday through Sunday, and they hosted me in an Airbnb. I got to work in San Francisco, which was so cool. And it was just really fun. It was the ultimate hybrid experience of handling walk-ins, teaching them about eDesign, giving them a little mood board, and upselling product sheet for them. But that only took us like 20 or 40 minutes to just whip up, send off, and and get really fast and quick with it, because they were coming in really quick. And I don't know if you've been to the San Francisco Design Center.
Yes, I have. Yeah.
So it's just eye candy everywhere, right? It's, oh, I miss it. It was the best neighborhood, the best places to eat, all the design inspiration. I mean,
all in one
place. I was glad it was extended. They're like, can you do another month? And I'm like, oh, darn. Okay,
I have to.
Get the Airbnb ready, I guess.
Well, how fun. That's a great experience. Okay, so you have a boot camp that you've been talking about available to everybody. So how would people get in touch with you if they want to work with you and find out a little more, if they want to do eDesign as well?
Yeah. So fosterdecorconsulting.com is my main website. That's going to be the best place to fill out my contact form. But you can also DM me on Instagram at fosterdecorconsulting. Super easy. I, again, talk to a lot of strangers out there. So, and I'm always excited to get to know people. As you know, I sent you a voice note. So I'm always sending voice notes, because I want to break that kind of fourth wall there, right? Where it's just like, I'm tired of the highs and like, no, here's a voice note. I'm a real person.
That's
and
special.
The eDesign Bootcamp is a great place to start if you are new to eDesign, or if you're struggling with eDesign. So it also helps those veterans actually, I've had more clients now that are seasoned interior designers doing residential work that are using the bootcamp as a way to hone in on what's not working with my business. Mm. Why am I not getting the traction? I lost that contractor, I lost that referral, or I lost, I don't know, any traction in their business. And please don't think it's because of your logo or you don't have a pretty social media graphic. It is way more than that. So I love the bootcamp that it's not just for those newbies like I designed it for. It's helping seasoned veterans. Mm-hmm. It's great. It makes me feel like, okay, I'm actually helping not just e-designers, but my peers that are interior designers that have, you know, been in the field for like 20 years. And they're just like, I did not think about any of this. Because they were like me going to one checkbox to the next and then, you know, trying to follow along all the things that we should do. So to me, e-design was a way to like break that. Like if you don't want to be stuck to a 9-to-5, you know, or your cubicle, and you want to maybe travel or have that freedom, I mean, e-design was the way that I was able to do that.
Great. Wow. I'm sure a lot of people will be reaching out to you, as that is a very interesting topic to a lot of people because they haven't been able to dabble in it yet, but they want to know more. So I think the bootcamp will be a great offering for everybody. So thank you so much for coming on. Yeah. I have so much information. I love your story and it's just been great to have you.
Yeah. So it's edesignbootcamp.com specifically for that. And I'm honored actually to be on your show. I feel like I already know you because I've listened to about 13 or 14 episodes.
Oh, that's great.
And like I told you, like I listen on 2x speed. So
yeah,
I'm like, she's talking a bit slower than I remember. No, but thank you so much for having me. This is so fun. And I'm very impressed with your work. I've seen your portfolio. I've seen your website. And I'm like, girl, you know what's going on.
Oh, thank you. Good.
No,
good to know.
No audit necessary.
Yeah, you always wonder, like, does she think mine's okay? Like, you know.
I know. That's how I'm like, I know what you're thinking, but no, you're good. You're safe.
Okay, good. All right. Well, thank you, Amanda, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks.
So a great conversation with Amanda. Definitely check out her links and her social media. She's a lot of fun. If you are interested in e-design, it might be a great addition to your offerings or even just a great way to start out in the career. So definitely look into her mentorship. And I think that's something great. That's definitely not an area that I know a lot about. So I think her services definitely complement mine in my design mentor. And so check out all of those links in the show notes. Next week, we'll have another great episode for you. So until then, stay creative. Thanks for listening. If you love this episode, please leave a rating and a review. This helps me reach other curious creatives like you. If you have a topic request or would like to contact me, simply head over to my website, rwarddesign.com, or email me at podcast@rwarddesign.com.